diddle diddle, Cape Crusaders! Welcome to another edition of Batman, the animated series, podcast! Whoa. There's gold in them hills! I'm your host, Alex Rodson. With me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist, a writer, and the guy who hates riddles. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hey, diddle diddle! It's Will motherfucking Fizzle!
What's that, your stage name?
Introducing Will motherfucking Fizzle!
I come out and I have like soda pop.
I'm fizzing! Right? It's my name. You get it now?
I'm jet lagged, everybody. I'm a bit tired, so may not be very funny today.
Well, you're jet lagged because of the art life. Why don't you tell us what's been going on in the art life recently?
I just got shipped off to Dubai and back, so I saw rain out there. The first day I was out there, so the event I was there for, which was a Comic-Con-y type thing, got cancelled, and the place like flooded slightly, but they dealt with it immediately. And no, it was I had a nice trip in terms of like hanging out with people and food. Business-wise, not the best. I mean, we were trying to, with the store, Comic Cave, shout out to Comic Cave, they're awesome people. They got invited to try and branch out into a games con, and there was definitely interest there, but we were sat right behind a stage, like right behind us, that was doing Just Dance on the Switch. And there was like a hype man all the time, like, okay, over there, let's come on, we gonna dance now. There we go. And it would just be like, and he'd be like, haha, excellent. Whoa, you've done this before. Wow, great move. And I'm sitting there like, fuck, shut up. Fucking hate fake niceties like that. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I was like, you're really good. You've done this before. Whoa, slow down there. This place is on fire. I hate you. You're not real. I could never be a person in that position, like the fake, like, I love everybody and everything. Whoa, you're great. You're cool. I like realism. I would love someone to be like, that toxic was shit, mate. You suck. I would be like, I do. It's true. You're fat as shit. I am. I am fat as shit. Shouldn't be up here, should I? No. Nope.
I got a riddle for you. What's fat and shit at dancing? You're like, oh.
I know that one. I'd like to solve, Pat. It's me. I'd like to. Did you say fat or Pat?
I said Pat. Okay, so besides that, are you getting started on your DC work that you're doing right now?
Yeah, I'm full force, baby, into my DC short story that I'm doing, which will come out at Halloween. So I'm hoping to have that done over the next 2 weeks.
A character that has been an inmate of Arkham Asylum, which is pictured behind you.
That's right. Yes, and something character that has a lot to do with Halloween, if you think about it. I mean,
yeah.
Halloween is a scary time of year. Oh, who could it be? I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying drawing it, and then obviously is this the last podcast, or is it the second to last podcast before my Kickstarter campaign ends?
This is the last podcast.
Oh my god! Well, here I am to plug my podcast once again.
Here I am.
Get out of the way.
Gonna plug my podcast now. Well, not podcast, your Kickstarter.
My Kickstarter, that's right. I mean,
you can plug the pod on the pod if you want.
No, I do. Look, honestly, I do feel bad. I bet you listen to me on all these interviews and I never plug the podcast. I always forget to, and I'm sorry.
You do always plug the podcast. You don't even remember. You always do.
I don't remember what happened, but I'm just getting through life. You know what I'm saying? Just chatting.
This is what he says.
Oh, I'm
to
supposed
the
to be plugging my Kickstarter right now. yes. So, my Kickstarter, Outbreaks, it's my passion project. It's my comic that I've created myself, that I've written. We are on issue 3 of it. So if this is your first time listening, you can pick up issues 1 through 3. We've got a cover by the co-creator of The Walking Dead, Tony Moore, as it is a zombie book. So that's pretty cool, right? Spent a lot of money on that, which I would like to recoup. So come help me out. You know what I'm saying? and this completes the first arc of the first story, as it is an anthology series. So if you pick this one up, you get to read issues 1 through 3 and you get a full story, which will be very nice. So check that out. Outbreaks on Kickstarter. We're so close to unlocking our next stretch goal. And all the money that goes that we make from the book goes right back into the product to make it even better as we continue to release books. And I've been putting together Mobster Mash, which I'm really excited about. I just hired a bunch of awesome variant artists that are going to be tackling it. I'm hoping, you know, you never know if they're actually going to finish the product, but I really hope that it's going to be awesome. I've got some huge names, one of them being Freddie Williams, that I've been a fan of for so long. I was a big reader of his DC's Guide to Digitally Drawing Comics book. It was like one of the first things I read when I was starting out. And he's an amazing artist. You might know him from like Batman vs. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or Power Rangers vs. Godzilla, or like all these like verses, like He-Man vs. G.I. Joe, whatever. He like works on all of those. Like he gets like the coolest jobs in comics, right? Like the action figures being smashed together jobs. And I love his artwork, so I'm really looking forward to seeing his work on Mobster Mash, along with a bunch of other really cool artists. And I just love this book. So if you help me out in Outbreaks, it all goes towards me doing that as my next gig. So if you have backed it, thank you so much. Check it out on Kickstarter. Outbreaks, the zombie comic. That is the best zombie comic since The Walking Dead.
Oh, shit. And he's not lying, because I've read it, and I agree. And it has nothing to do with me being the chief editor as well on SpeechCon.
Editor-in-chief.
Editor-in-chief. Oh, I can't be chief editor? I can't.
There's no such position. It's editor-in-chief. That's what it's called. That's the name of the position.
I'm in charge. I can tell you what position I'm in. I'm chief editor. I want a badge. I want a hat.
A headdress.
Yeah, a headdress. Why not? I want to be fed grapes whilst I read scripts.
All right. Arrange that. A plummet of grapes. Is that what we call it? A plummet?
That's news to me if you do. There's a riddle. If someone was like, oh, you're going to plummet down a hill unless you eat this sweet treat. No, that's going nowhere. I got nothing.
Is it a plummet?
I don't know. I've never heard that.
A thing of grapes is called a pea of grapes, a plummet.
A pod? Pod of grapes?
No, it's like a blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, of grapes. Yeah.
I'm going to go with plummet. And someone write in if I'm wrong, or someone write in if I'm right.
Moving on, though. Are you ready to cast that character?
I am.
Who will they cast in this pod?
This is where we cast a new character when we come across them in the DCAU. Every time we spot a new character and think, who could play that character if there was a live-action remake of Batman the Animated Series? If Warner Brothers gave us the keys to the production house and said, take Batman the Animated Series and cast people in the modern day, who would you cast and why? And today, we've come across the Riddler, also known as Edward Nygma.
I hardly know her.
Oh, no. Every time he comes up, that's going to happen now. Mm-hmm. All right. The Riddler, who did you cast?
Hardly know.
Who did you cast as Edward Nygma? No, you could do it for that as well, couldn't you? Nygma?
I hardly know her.
All right. I'll let you go first. Who did you cast?
I had a few choices at first. Like, just who would make a good Riddler in the future, but not in the vein of Batman the Animated Series? Because that's the point, right? We're not just casting Riddler. We're casting someone who fits the style of Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say the opposite. Yes. Fits this particular Riddler. Yes.
Exactly. Because at first I was like, you know what? Kieran Culkin might be, like, a good Riddler because he's got the smugness and, like, the smarts about him. But, you know, he always gets foiled, like, in Succession. So I was like, okay, you need someone that's, like, suave, sort of transatlantic,
yes,
and a know-it-all, and looks good in a suit, right? Because I think Riddler looks the business in Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah,
I think it's the best interpretation of the character. Not too fond of Riddler in other interpretations, especially the Batman movie. I don't need incel Riddler. Get that shit out of my face. Like,
yep,
who's that for? Incels? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not one of them. I fuck my wife on the regular. Anyway, so. I chose.
Where did that go?
I don't know.
Just a tangent. Okay.
So, this is someone I've thought about being Riddler for a while. I think he's a great actor. He's got the suaveness, particularly when he was in The Crown. He's very suave and smooth in that. And I could see him thinking that he's all like smart and intelligent because he kind of acts that way in The Offer, which was a great show on what's it called? Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. A pod of grapes or whatever you say.
Yeah. Is a plummet? A plummet?
Wait,
a
no, plummet. That's what I said.
You said that.
Hey, I'm not doing so good here. I'm jet lag, folks. My choice is Matthew Good.
Matthew Good.
Who is in The Crown as Princess Margaret's love interest.
Oh, I thought you it's like princess. Okay, Matthew Good.
And he's the film producer in The Offer.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he'd be pretty good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see it. He's also in Watchmen as Ozymandias.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's Ozymandias in Watchmen.
Oh, he must have been so much younger then.
Yeah. Okay, I dig that. Yeah, I dig it quite a bit. I also had a few choices, but I really wanted to nail this Riddler as far as, like, who could I see doing exactly that from just the way he carries himself and the things that he says, where sometimes Riddler is almost, he thinks he's smarter than he actually is in this show.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
Which is obviously the point. But I gravitated towards one particular person who I could even see saying some of the lines like, My, do we actually have a brain underneath that, you know, cape and cowl or whatever he says? Or just constantly insulting people in the most, like, transatlantic, like, smarmy way. You know what I mean by that?
That's what I was saying about my character, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we're both in the same vein there. My choice is Ed Helms, as in Andy from The Office. And also The Hangover, which, you know, I wouldn't count towards this depiction, but particularly Andy in The Office. The way he dresses, I can see him just swap it out from that, like, Easter colors for green colors. I can see him, the way he speaks and the way he delivers those lines. And I think that he would be an excellent Riddler. I think he would look the business in that
Andy's
suit.
Andy's an idiot, though. He's not actually intelligent.
But that's my point here, is that the Riddler thinks he's smarter than he actually is.
Yeah, and but he, like, is incredibly smart, though.
Yeah, I guess parts of it. And also nerdy. And I think Andy is nerdy.
Only beat him because he cheated.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did cheat. But I think he was set up to lose anyway. So
there's nothing suave about Ed Helms at all. Nothing. Zero suaveness. He's a goof.
Yeah, honestly, I was pretty set on Ed Helms, but your choice, Matthew Good, is a good choice, haha. Because I think he's got more of that suaveness, and I can see him being arrogant more than Ed Helms. So,
can you see Ed Helms sitting in the dark with, like, that outfit on? No, you'd be like,
yeah,
Andy,
I can't. Yeah,
silly.
You're right. Yeah, he'd be a bit, like, too cheesy with it, wouldn't he?
I'm telling you, Riddler pulls, right? Like, he definitely pulls. Like, I was like, I gotta go, Batman. I've got a 10 o'clock with two fine bitches, so I have to get out of here.
What's one bitch plus another bitch, Batman?
Yeah, riddle me this, Batman. What has two thumbs and is getting laid as shit tonight? This guy.
Finger guns.
He says it in case Batman wasn't aware that's what he was doing. Okay, yeah, Matthew Good. As the Riddler, I like it. That's a good choice. I made that joke for a second time now, so I won't make it again. All right, locked in. Matthew Good as the Riddler. And speaking of the Riddler himself, are you ready to review this episode?
Yeah, buddy.
This episode is titled, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? It came out on November 18, 1992. Directed by Eric Radomski, written by David Weiss, and animation by Blue Pencil with colors by Jade. Featuring Kevin Conroy as Batman Bruce Wayne, Efren Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred, Lauren Lester as Robin Dick Grayson, Brock Peters as Lucius Fox, Gary Frank as Daniel Mockridge, Hal Rail as Henchman, and John Glover as Edward Nygma and the Riddler.
John Glover, I hardly know her.
Honorable mentions here. Blue Pencil animated this episode with colors by Jade. This is Blue Pencil's first cred for the show, and they will also go on to animate the episode Day of the Samurai. Jade, who did the colors for this episode, also makes their first appearance and will also go on to color Day of the Samurai and The Terrible Trio. So, yeah, an interesting. I do know when we get to it, but Day of the Samurai caused this animation company to go bankrupt. Just so you know.
Oh,
so
when okay.
When we get to Day of the Samurai, I will speak more about that. But yeah, they were a flash in the pan back in the 90s.
Whoopsie.
Writer David Weiss has been credited previously on this podcast in our review of The Clock King. So go back and listen to that episode if you want to learn more about his career. Director Eric Radomski goes from co-showrunner and producer to director for this episode. This is considered his directorial debut, in fact, as he's only previously directed the sizzle reel titled The Dark Knight's First Night, which was what they used to pitch the show around to writers and directors. Mm. He will also go on to direct the episode Almost Got Him, as well as Mask of the Phantasm, Freakazoid, and Todd McFarlane's Spawn.
Well, very cool.
Yeah. Acting creds here. All returning characters have been credited previously on this podcast in their first appearances, such as Lauren Lester in Christmas with the Joker and Brock Peters in See No Evil. So go back and listen to those episodes if you want to learn more about those actors' careers. And as far as new actor creds go for this episode, we've got Hal Rail, who plays the henchman in this. He's also known for voicing Shrapnel and Snarl in Transformers, as well as the voice and sound effects of the Predator in Predator 2.
Okay, what sound effects are those then?
The pfft, and they're like, you know, all the sound effects that the Predator makes.
He did the rattling noise?
Yeah, he did the rattling
noise.
That's
a mouth noise?
That's a mouth noise. It's obviously are put you through, sure? Like, yes, I'm sure. It's he's credited as the voice and sound effects of the Predator in Predator 2.
I thought that was just a guy in like a little wood block going like...
Well, I'm sure there's added effects, but there's a voice in there as well.
I'm the Predator! Arr!
Also, Predator
okay,
says...
take two, right?
He says things like, good luck next time, or whatever he says. Like, he repeats that, but it's in, like, his
but they
own...
just use the old audio for that.
But doesn't he also have a raspy... Oh, no, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, they just have, right. Like, a... underneath yeah. Some, but was, that's what he's doing?
Maybe that's what he's doing. Yeah, he's doing
all right,
that.
Today we need you to go rah-rah, 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 gotcha. Brilliant. Done. All right, next. Now, rah-rah, rah-rah. Ooh, okay. Ooh. Rah-rah, rah-rah. Oh, great. Another... No, we don't need to do second takes around here. This is great.
Well, he went from henchman to the Predator, so there we go, I guess. I don't know how to step up. Then we got Gary Frank, who plays Daniel Muckridge. He's also known for playing Detective James Jarvis in Remington Steele and Yedrin Dax in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I don't know
those
who
are
those
names.
Characters are, but those are names.
I
and then
am
finally,
Yedrin Dax.
Yeah, you actually
I'm here
got it
to
right.
Collect your tax.
What's
and
it like?
I fucked the Dax.
You've heard of the Riddler, but have you heard of the rhymer?
That's me. I have to rhyme. Indubitably.
Oh no, that would be the worst villain ever. I would be like, just how do I defeat you? Or let's just
you defeat him by giving him like forcing him into a situation where he's like, ah, your cape is orange and your and he can't rhyme. He's like, ah, and I'm feeling orange. No,
disintegrates. Finally, we have John Glover here, who plays Edward Nygma and the Riddler. He makes his DCA debut in this episode. He also is known for playing Lionel Luthor in Smallville, Phil in Payback, Daniel Clamp in Gremlins 2, Bryce Cummings in Scrooged, Teddy Maddox in Fear the Walking Dead, Saperstein in The Mouth of Madness, and Dr. Jason Woodrue in Batman and Robin, the guy who created Poison Ivy.
Nice. And he was in a really good episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's like... kids filming POV with their cameras, and he was like a mortician that was up to no good.
Yeah, absolutely. I love John Glover's stuff, and I always like when he appears. And as much as I love a lot of the roles he's done, my favorite is the Riddler. He's just so good as the Riddler in this.
I agree.
I really love his take. Okay, some utility belt of fun facts here. John Glover, who plays the Riddler, is one of five actors who appeared in the animated series as well as a live-action Batman movie. Would you like to know who those actors are that appeared in both the show and live-action Batman films?
One of them's the Doctor from Curb Enthusiasm.
Yes, you're right. Yeah,
to work, Nygma.
Yeah,
Edward,
he's Ed Begley Jr. He plays Charlie Collins in Joker's Favor and Germs in Feet of Clay. Mm-hmm. And he's also Fred Stickley, Edward Nygma's boss in Batman Forever. So that's one. Then obviously we've got John Glover, as I said, the Riddler, and he also plays Dr. Jason Woodrue in Batman and Robin. Then we got Renee Auberginois, who plays Dr. March in the Man-Bat episodes, who's the guy that, like, you're suspecting is the Man-Bat, but it's not.
The red herring.
Yeah, and he's also in Batman Forever as the Arkham Asylum psychiatrist, Dr. Burton, named after Tim Burton as well.
Okay.
He's the one who, like, creeps up to Two-Face's cell, or actually that's a cutscene, but Nigma's cell at the end, and he's like, I'm Batman, as he's, like, flapping around. What a weird but catchy theme, right?
I remember at university, like, my mates, like, for some reason, like, rewatched. They're not Batman fans, but they rewatched Batman Forever, and they were so, like, into it, like, for the, like, and they, like, I would hear, like, them having a shower in the morning listening to the soundtrack.
They actually hear, like, listened to it?
Yeah, they loved the music from it, and they would listen to, like, that, da-da-da-da-da, like, while showering, and it was just cracking me up.
That's amazing.
I love that waltz, though. The,
yeah, me too. I like that a lot. The music's good in that movie. Okay, it is good. It was just in my brain and then it's left. Is it Goldstein? Oh my god, I've forgotten. I'm sorry. It's left my brain. And I like that movie a lot. I used to know
you
that,
do.
But it's
you
gone.
Burned through the tape from watching it every single day.
I did. As a kid, you make it sound like that was very recent.
It was yesterday.
I just worn out the digital copy now. Okay. Senator Patrick Leahy will voice the governor in the episode Showdown, which is an episode to come, as well as appearing in Batman and Robin and The Dark Knight, where he was famously intimidated by Heath Ledger's Joker. So there's that is the fourth. And then finally, Vincent Schiavelli will go on to play...
Schiavelli!
He will go on to play Zatara the Magician, and he's also known as the organ grinder in Penguin's Red Circus Gang in Batman Returns.
Yes.
And those are the five ones, so I thought that was pretty cool. There's some fun facts for you there. Some more fun facts. Besides being one of the main producers on the show and the director of this episode, Eric Radomski is also responsible for the title card art that we see at the start of each episode, which is really cool. I mean, those title cards are just... classics, you know, like they're synonymous with the show. So
yeah, I love
he
it.
Did every single one hand drawn as well, which is impressive. Next, we've got, according to Eric Radomski, he directed this episode as a result of the network not wanting to pay for an extra director, leading to him and Bruce Timm splitting 7 episodes that weren't previously assigned to anyone and adding them to their normal workloads. Oh, as wow. You said before, they're like, oh yeah, Heart of Ice, oh just no one wants to do that, like Laughing Fish, yeah, I'll take that too. They seem to be, almost got them. Yeah, all right, I'll take that. They got some really good
bangers.
Ones. Yeah. When Edward Nygma is doing a crossword, one of the words appearing is Radomski, so he's got a little cred in there. And then Radomski wasn't the biggest fan of the Riddler or the episode's title and lobbied for Alan Burnett to change the latter, but he wouldn't budge. And I reached out to Alan Burnett to see if he had anything to say about this episode. And he got back to me. He's just always amazing. I love that he's always happy to talk about it. And he would love to come back on the pod, but he's a busy guy. So he sent me an email instead. He said, first of all, it may be my favorite title for an episode ever. So I can see why he wanted to stick to it, because he really liked it.
Sticking to his guns then.
Yeah. He said, I actually saw it a year or so ago while surfing on Max, HBO Max, and found it more involving than I remembered. So that's cool. He rewatched it very recently. He said it was written by David Weiss and edited by Marty Pascal, both whom are sadly no longer with us. David, by the way, developed and wrote the early Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shows and largely created their cowabunga personalities.
Oh, wow. So
that's really cool. My favorite thing about the episode is the backstory on Edward Nygma. I like the Riddler, but there's a reason why you don't see that much of him in the series. With Riddler, you always have to present a riddle, then mull over the riddle, then solve it, and then go into action. And these steps start to take time and feel redundant after a while. I think the most successful story we have with him is in Riddler's Reform, in which he swore off riddles, which broke the old pattern. Of course, he's still giving riddles in that one, but doing it subconsciously as Batman realizes. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. Have a good podcast. Thank you, Alan. It's always a pleasure to hear from you on this show, and I love getting insights like that.
I agree, because this episode is very formulaic to like Batman 66 or yes. anything like that. Just like, I figured the riddle out. Let's go. Like, it's fun, but it does get repetitive. But didn't you think this whole thing felt like more Dick Sprang than Bruce Timm?
Like, I totally agree. Yeah,
everything's much smoother and bouncier, and the colors like of Robin like pop. And I was like,
so cartoony.
Yeah, I like this. Feels like a super old issue of Detective Comics, and it's fun.
Well, as I said, the animation company, this is like their first job on Batman the Animated Series, so they have a certain style that I think only they have. Like other animation studios, we've seen, you know, have their takes on them, but they're all kind of in line with Bruce Timm's character designs and movements. While this one, I felt like everyone was just a bit too rubbery at points. Like,
yeah,
I think the background art was amazing in this episode, but the movement of characters, almost like they were over animated. At a point, Riddler's face is like, "Ah, oh, Batman," and he's like,
yeah,
wobbling around like a bobblehead.
Well done, Batman. But have you wits enough to save two people at the same time?
It works for the Riddler as a character, but we're like Batman, like. Like he's like running away at one point and like he's like bouncing around. There's also a shot when he's in the Batcave and Batman's like, "Let's go," and then he like spends like 10 seconds walking out of frame. Did you see that? He's like, "Let's go."
Come on, Daniel Mockridge is walking into a trap.
Yeah, I know,
like,
what you mean.
Who decided that should be an extended thing? Like, cut and let's go.
Yeah, I definitely felt like it felt a little out of place at points watching this episode because it wasn't the normal flow that the other animation companies have brought to it. But yeah, I still think it was a good episode, good first episode for Riddler. Some other ones here that I just want to mention for fun facts. Bruce Timm has mentioned that personality-wise, Batman 66's Riddler, played by Frank Gorshin, was very similar to their version of the Joker. So for their version of Riddler, he was deliberately depicted as a serious, suave intellectual to differentiate him from Gorshin's Riddler. What do you think about Riddler in this show?
It's the best. I want more suave Riddler. It just works, you know?
Yeah, it does.
He's
it
like
really
an evil
does.
James Bond. Like, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to break your mind and then break open your wife's ass, Batman. Ha!
Oh my god.
I'm telling you, that guy fucks. That guy fucks.
Here's a riddle for you. What's 6 inches and hard all the time?
Your wife for me.
What?
I like taking wives. It's my thing.
The diddler, more like.
Whoa, whoa. They're of age. All right. Let's not get that confused. Not Nigma the Diddler, okay?
Yeah, I really love his interpretation. It's the best, absolutely. He looks the business in that suit. And I like how he is suave, but he's also nerdy. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a bit of nerd in him. And that comes out at points, especially when it comes to things that he, like, obsesses over. And you've got to be a bit nerdy to be into riddles. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, kind of like, ah, that's your thing? Okay. But he pulls it off in this because of how he is. Instead of this goofy guy in like a onesie running around being like writing riddles in the sky and like, I don't know, how the planes write like, "Will you marry me?" and stuff like that. Like Frank Gorshin in 66.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just love... like one thing I'm looking at right now is I'm trying to get better at drawing suits because I'm getting ready to draw Mobster Mash where everyone's got a suit on. And my go-to is looking at this Riddler because I think the cut of the suit is so good. It looks suave. Like everything looks nice. And I really just love the look of this Riddler because, as I said before, other interpretations of the character, I'm not really that into. I like there's plenty of comic book versions of the Riddler I like. Like in Long Halloween and stuff like that, he's a bit more weedy, but he's still intelligent. But this one is like, I hate the. You know what? There is no other interpretation where he's suave, is there? I can't think of one.
Not that I know of. No. Yeah, he's either like a Saw villain or like the. Oh no, we mentioned Saw again. But you know what I mean? He's either like Jigsaw or he's like Frank Gorshin's the Riddler.
Yeah, or just like a little nerd or a fucking incel.
Or an incel, yeah.
Suave. Like, he is the opposite of the Batman Riddler, right?
Yes,
like,
he is.
This guy fucks. Like, he's like, I'm not an incel. I fucked your wife last night. I'm good.
Riddle me this. What was your wife doing whilst you were out fighting crime?
Fucking me.
Solve that one.
That's an easy one for you.
Some more final fun facts here. The maze in the game is based on the Greek legend of the Minotaur, who is imprisoned in a labyrinth by Greece's greatest genius. So that's kind of cool.
I always thought that Scott Snyder, when he was watching Batman the Animated Series, must have been watching this episode when he was coming up with the Court of Owls and Bruce stuck in the maze and stuff like
Very
that.
Very similar vibe.
I know he watched a lot of Batman the Animated Series when he was prepping for Batman, so I guarantee this was probably one that popped up that may have planted a little seed in his head.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is quite a few people's, not the majority, but a decent amount of people, this is their favorite episode. Like, they love this episode.
Really?
Because it's just so new and fresh, especially for the Riddler. And we've watched so many episodes, and the Riddler hasn't shown up yet. So, and we know why, because obviously they said it was hard to use him and find the right story, which is why we don't see him a lot. And I'm glad that they waited for a really good story, because or a good interpretation at least, because I really like the way the Riddler premieres in this show. So the Riddle of the Minotaur maze was adapted into the first stage of the Riddler level in the Super Nintendo game The Adventures of Batman and Robin, with Commissioner Gordon and Barbara Gordon as his captives. So a little different, but still similar. And finally, the sound effects used in the Riddle of the Minotaur game in the show are directly taken from the NES game Super Mario
Brothers.
Yes,
completely obvious.
Not a game, Alfred. The game. Riddle of the Minotaur. It's really cool. Look, not only do you have to avoid all these traps, but you've got to solve all these riddles.
Yeah.
It's like a tube sound, like the chomp, chomp, chomp. I was like, yeah. That's Super Mario.
That's what Batman says. Dick's like, I'm playing this new game. Batman's like, that's Super Mario.
We didn't have budget in the sound effect department, so we just stole it
from them. Oh, Batman hears that noise. He's like, oh, we play Mario? He runs in and it's Riddle the Minotaur.
Minotaur maze. I hate that one. The riddles make me feel dumb. Look, I trained all around the world and I learned everything. But there's some things that slip through the cracks, and it just game makes me feel like a dum-dum. I don't want to feel that way.
Alfred, where's my girlfriend? Riddler's just fucking her in.
Riddle me this, Bruce. That's right, I know who you are.
Figured that out weeks ago, by the way. He says at one point, he's like, well, that's something or other, is it? And I'm like,
yeah, you don't? When he said that, I bet Batman was like, bitch, you know who I am. Yeah. Gotham knows the Bat. Yeah.
Yeah, you like if it was like, well, something or other man, is it? Like, maybe.
I think he did it on purpose just to like to instantly put him down, right? Like to be like, oh, Bat, what is it? I don't really know. I don't keep up. I don't really know who you are. And I feel like Batman was like, oh, I know what he's doing, Robin, but that really got to me. He knows my name. Everybody knows my name. Why is that getting to me? I need to work on that.
So let's talk about this episode. I thought the opening of this episode was very immersive. Lots of sound effects, no music. It was like the office. You heard people working, like the ding of the elevator, Enigma doing his crossword. I had my headphones on. I was like, what is this, ASMR? Like, I was like really immersed in that scene.
Atmospheric.
Yeah, and no dialogue for like 2 minutes, which for a cartoon, I was like, this is an interesting way to start the show. Then we meet Mockridge, and I thought he was very Tony Stark looking, or Howard Stark looking.
Yeah, he looks like Clark. What's that old actor's name?
Clark Gable?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, he does look like Clark Gable. I'm sure that was probably in the influence, actually, behind that. And then I thought, for a supposed smart guy, Edward Nygma is very dumb when it comes to reading contracts, because he signed a work-for-hire contract, which is all... Like, you'd be mad not to know what that is. Like, it's... You're hired for a job, and they keep that property and the royalties, and you get paid, and that's it. Severed contract.
This is just the fucking comic book industry. Like, you fucking make something,
yeah.
And then at the end of the day, someone's like, yeah, great, you made it. We're going to take all the fucking money now. So I sympathize with Edward Nygma. In fact, he's the hero of this story. The dude just wants his IP back, man. He worked hard for it.
I'm surprised he didn't dress up as like the Minotaur as like part of his revenge scheme. You know what I mean? Instead, he's like, I'm going to go for riddles. And he didn't like that crossword. He threw it away. So I guess.
A crossworder. 6 across, 5 down. Your wife's going down on me right now. I pull.
I fiddled and I diddled.
And it made my hard whittle. That didn't really work, but you got the picture. I fucked your wife.
Oh, man. So Mockridge pitches to a very bored Bruce Wayne and Lucius Fox, who are already in on the deal, but Mockridge like keeps pitching them like he's read the art of the deal or something. I was like, dude, they've said yes. Like, pull it back now. You can chill. But I like when Bruce first read the half of the riddle in his voice in the office on that scrolling like billboard, and then the second half in his Batman voice as he's pacing around the Batcave.
Why do multi-million dollar deals break down in the wasteland?
I know, I love that he gets to the Batcave, puts on the suit, and goes like, what is it? Maybe if I dress up like Batman, I'll figure it out, okay? Yeah. Put the suit on. You were just doing that to distract you because you know you don't know it. Oh. Alfred, what do you think it is? I'm useless at riddles, sir. Not my bag, really. I'm good at cleaning, a few puns here and there. but riddles, no. No, not my thing. Fuck. Well, shit. That's the end of that, then. Chinese?
Yeah. It's for Chinese. Alfred watches as Dick plays the Minotaur game, and do you think Alfred had a go on it after they left? Like, he gets a taste for online gaming?
Well, I knew the fucking riddle. It turns out I'm really good at them secretly. I just didn't want to get involved in this one. I wanted him to leave so I could play this game all evening. He's got like a fucking pot of tea ready to go.
He gets into arguments with kids online. He's like, if you don't back off, pwn until you moan, I'll have Batman come over there and pwn you, if you know what I'm
saying. You're the fucking noob. Noob. Got him on that one. Middle me this nerd.
He's on game forums just trolling people as well. He's just like, my life is better than yours.
Yeah. I am rich, mate. Lol. That was a good one.
Batman comes back and he tries to use the computer, and Alfred's just like, no, sir, I'm playing my game. It'll have to wait. Well,
the Joker has escaped and I need to use the computer. It will have to wait. I'm on the last level.
This is my time.
This is me time. You said you were going to be out for 3 hours and you've been out for two. Well, that is one extra hour of Alfie time. Hang on a second, Bruce. Hang on. Fuck you, ginger little cunt. Right, okay.
That's not being made into a video now. Oh, God. And then when Mockridge meets the Riddler in this club, I loved how excited Mockridge gets when he thinks that Riddler's come up with a new game.
You're trespassing, Nigma. Get out. You can't kill this deal. I'm selling out to Wayne, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Of course there isn't. You don't understand. I have a proposition for you.
You've come up with a new game?
Like, even though he screwed this guy over and, like, ruined his life, he's like, did you come up with a new game? And he would do it all over again, wouldn't he? Just from that. Yeah.
Riddler's like, I signed another contract. Why do I keep doing that?
He's like, it wasn't even a trick. He told me it was a work-for-hire contract.
I'm pretty smart, but that was pretty dumb. I think I might fuck his wife in retaliation.
It just goes around Gotham, just fucking everyone's wife.
Everyone. Gordon's wife. Hello, Commissioner. He's like in bed with his wife.
And his daughter at the same time. God, it's like,
it was tough to do, but I pulled it off.
Because I pull,
as established.
I'm the puller. Aha. Uh-huh.
I'm a genius, except when it comes to work for hire contracts. That's the thought on my side. Is it side or paw? Ah, there's a riddle for you.
Oh. I'm fucking your wife again.
I'm going to go fuck the mayor's wife. I'll be right back.
Back to this scene. I really love how Riddler does look in the shadows when he's sitting down at that table and like speaking to him. And he's like,
you think I want money? Not anymore. What I want now is you.
Yes, best shot of the whole.
Oh, so good. I don't want money. What I want now is you. I love that so much. So Batman and Robin come crashing through the skylight, and they're confused at first because the place is empty. And I was like, how many times do you reckon they did that evening to solve the riddle? Like, Batman keeps thinking he solved it.
Going in.
Oh, it's empty.
That's the 12th one tonight. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
I know what I'm doing! Fucking riddles, Christ's sake.
I look like Batman's just shit at riddles. Like he's like me. Like, he's like, I've trained around the world. I've learned everything. But riddles, my brain just does not work that way. Alfred usually does them, but he's sucked into that video game.
Gordon's watching the footage the next day, and he's just watching Batman and Robin break into, like, 12 different places.
You gonna pay for that?
And he just watches Batman look around and then, like, has an aha moment, and they just run back out, like, to the next one.
I think Batman is kind of shit at riddles.
Bruce is like in bed tossing and turning that night because he didn't solve the riddle, and Alfred comes in, serves up breakfast, like, good morning, sir. And Bruce is like, that's it, mourning, as in mourning the loss of a loved one. Quick, get Dick, I think the Riddler is about to hijack a funeral. And they like crush a fucking funeral.
It's in the casket, boom, and like smashes it open. Just a dead body.
Oh no. Ah, I'm so bad at riddles!
Sorry, everybody. I'll pay for everything. Hey, do you guys know this one? Anyone good at riddles it?
Tough room.
What a dead crowd, am I right?
This crowd's pretty dead. Not into humor in this grieving moment, I see. Oh, you haven't seen the body dead yet? Oh, well, that'll scar you for life. It happened to me, my parents. Oh, they died in front of me. It was pretty bad. It set me off on a lifelong journey of trauma. Anyway, who's good at riddles?
Oh, man. Later on, Riddler calls his giant trap a variation on the Chinese finger puzzle. And I'm like, ooh, not a good use of that phrase. Can't call it that anymore.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I googled it.
You can't call it a Chinese finger trap anymore?
No.
But if it's from China, is it not Chinese? We call it Chinese food. Can we not? Is it just food now?
Maybe Riddler's like, fine, Chinese appendage game. And Batman's like, the finger part is the problem. Not the Chinese part. The Riddler's just not PC.
Ah, Indian burn. You can't say that, and that hurts.
Riddle me this, Batman. It's not over until the fat-ass lady does what?
Sing, because I'm plowing a horn. I pull any types. I do not discriminate. That's where I am woke, in the bedroom.
So Batman and Robin fight Riddler's two thugs, and I was expecting a bit of pow and wham to come across the screen there when they were fighting them in the club. Like, again, very Batman 66 feeling. And at one point, Robin squares up with this one guy, and they're the same height. But then Robin goes, like, behind him to kick him in the ass, and the guy is, like, 8 feet tall. Like, Robin is, like, 4 feet. He looks tiny. And I was like, what is that perspective? Again, just animators probably trying to get used to things and making some mistakes. But even Robin, like, he pulls that tablecloth from underneath one of the guys too and comments, like, I've always wanted to do that trick. It felt kind of Ghostbusters in that sense. You know
what I
mean?
Yeah, but I like, it's like the difference between Batman and Robin is Robin has fun while fighting crime, you know? Like,
yeah,
he's a kid. He's enjoying himself. He's beating up people and winning. Of course he's going to, like, laugh about it. That's, like, one of the big differences between him and Bruce. Like, he is deflecting his grief with humor, while Batman's like, oh, I'm full on in a big old bucket of grief.
Yeah,
no
true.
Humor to be found. That's why Alfred's around.
I did laugh when Batman watches Enigma get away and Robin is stuck in that trap and he's on fire. And he's screaming, like, it's getting hot in here. And Batman just shakes his head in disappointment as he's holding him still, like, Batman, put the fire out, like, your child is on fire right now.
So take off all your clothes. Robin's getting so hot. He's going to take his clothes off. Remember that one? Yeah, it's before your time.
Wait, it's 1992. It's before my time.
Oh, it's now. Yeah, top of the charts.
what did you think of Batman's mini palm top computer that he's got on his wrist? It's just a flap that opens up on a glove, and surely that would break the moment he punches someone in the face.
Yeah, but he has that in the Arkham games.
What, that palm top computer? Does he?
On his wrist, he has a thing that pops up, and it's like the little computer that he types into and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Do you think like he goes through like 5 of those a week, costing him millions? Because like it would break on a guy's face the moment he punched someone. Like if you backhand a guy, it would just crush into pieces.
And maybe I was like, ah, there goes another one.
to order. I'm from China, and they take 30 plus days to arrive. And if I'm not there at the door to get them, then it will be sent back to China. And then I will have to deal with reordering them. And then Bruce will say, but you said it would take 30 days. Why isn't it here? So I was fucking helping you solve riddles in the Batcave when the delivery man came to the door.
And why do you need it, sir? All it does is just text me, and you can only use 50 characters or less. It's useless.
You mostly just respond with lol, and it really pisses me off. I know you're not laughing out loud, sir.
It's just full of emojis most of the time. And Alfred's like trying to solve it like a riddle. Like, now who's solving bloody riddles?
You send me emojis that they don't even reflect what I said. I said, like, what would you like for supper? And you sent, like, a Joker face. It doesn't make any sense.
I wanted burgers and chips, which is the Joker's favorite meal. Didn't you know that?
Then use the emoji burger.
Burger. Chips.
Just send a burger and chips emoji, sir.
They have those?
Yes. I'm older than you and I know more about fucking emojis.
How many characters is that? I've got Two-Face, Riddler, Penguin. Oh.
Do you think characters are your rogues gallery, sir?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. No, you're right. You're right. Sorry. There's Gordon and Bullock and...
No, it's not just characters.
Just send me what you'd like to eat, sir. Got it. Just sends the Joker emoji again.
So burger and chips, then.
No, fish and chips. We just had the laughing fish escapade. And it made me really hungry. Hey, did those palm things arrive from China yet? You said 30 days, Alfred.
So Robin reacts very suspiciously when Batman asks the riddle, when is a Minotaur's owner as high as an elephant's eye? And it looked like Robin was about to be like, well, he likes a big old fat J, son.
I've been high as an elephant's eye a few times. Weed matter, bro.
Welcome to Weed Manor. Oh, wait, I'm getting a text. Ah, it's another emoji that I've got to figure out.
It's a moon. I think we have a new Riddler, because I cannot fucking understand a thing that Batman sends me. I mean, Bruce, not Batman. We have guests. No, I text Batman from time to time. He's pretty cool.
Did you say cool? Hey, that's my thing. I always text the snowflake. You're all a bunch of fucking snowflakes. Get it? That's a real good one. Fucking snowflakes. Hello? Is anyone there? Fucking snowflake. That's still funny.
So we revisit the Gotham Amusement Park yet again in this episode. I think this is like the third or fourth time we've seen it. It was in Be a Clown, The Robin's Reckoning Part 2, and maybe the Cape and Cow Conspiracy. I'm not sure on that one. But
might be time to demolish this fucking place, right?
Yeah.
It's all the villains of Gotham are like, a perfect place.
An abandoned music park. Oh, it has a maze with a Minotaur. Oh, how convenient for me. And Joker's
very
like,
convenient.
Oh, fun house for me. Yeah, it's ridiculous how much that, like, it needs to just be condemned and like burnt to the ground. Like, demolish that thing. Mm-hmm. Right, what did you think of the finale of this episode in the maze?
The Minotaur does a riddle that my wife answered immediately, and I was like, fuck! I was like, I don't get riddles!
She knew right
away? Yeah, she's like, don't you know it? I was like, no. She's like, the brain. And I was like, oh, what? I was like, I was thinking of a creature with millions of eyes and ears. Like, my brain doesn't work this way. I'm a visual person, so you describe something to me. Whatever you describe, I see. I don't see like the connections to something else.
If Riddler wanted you to solve that riddle, he had to just show you a picture of a brain, and you're like, Brain!
Brain!
Yeah. He's like, kind of defeats the whole purpose of my shtick. Okay.
I'd like to solve, please, Digma. That's a brain.
Sorry, you meant, what is brain?
No! Oh, you got me.
I thought that, like, this maze, I know he, like, upped it with the danger level, but, like, how does that hand fly? Like, it's like a hover car. Like, that's revolutionary technology right there. A robot minotaur that is, like, AI-based with a sword. I was like, and blades coming out of the walls. I was like, how did you manage to put this all together? Like, was this part of his two-year plan that he was, like, building?
I whipped it up in an evening. Yeah. I'm a genius.
I fucked your wife in between.
Yeah. If I really apply myself, I can get stuff done. That's why I applied myself to your mama last night. That's right. Going for mums now as well.
If you look up to the big screen, you'll see images of me doing your mum.
He puts on his, like, screensaver on his computer as well. I am fucking with you big time. Just like I fucked your mom big time. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I think I have a problem.
I did really like the Riddler being projected on the giant screens, though, and watching them like rats in a maze. I thought that was really cool. And I love how Robin is so confident over using the C key and tells Batman, like, trust me.
No, wait! Turn that key and there'll be three blades.
But how do you?
It's the C key. Trust me.
But then he presses up against the wall and Batman's like, trust you, huh? Like, all right, I'll press up against the wall too. You don't seem that sure.
Nah, you never know. It could be wrong.
Why do I fight crime with a teenager? Like, why do I do this?
This was a real oversight. Like, I had to travel the world for 7 years to learn that. This dude's like, I don't know, he was like flipping over elephants last week. Did I fuck this up?
There's a riddle for you.
The answer is yes, sir. I told you. Strange idea.
So Batman hitches a ride on the Hand of Fate and exclaims he doesn't believe in fate, which I found interesting. Little insight into Batman's practical thinking there. I like it. I felt like it was very Batman Forever as well, like ripping off the ending where you've got someone in jeopardy and it's like, solve the riddle in the time or they die. Like, that's exactly what Jim Carrey's Riddler did at the end. So I thought that was kind of like an interesting parallel that they probably ripped off, because Batman Forever ripped off a lot from this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman even tries his hand. Oh, hand. Hey-o. At a riddle and asks,
I solved your riddle, Nigma. Now here's one for you. How do you take out a Minotaur with a single blow? Like this.
And I was like, that's not a riddle, Batman. That's an obvious question.
I'm not good at riddles! We've established this!
Is that a riddle? Did I get it? Did I do it?
Did I win?
And I thought Riddler not being in the amusement park at the end was a fun twist. Like, usually the villains always get arrested or they're presumed dead. But, like, I think he might be the first one in the show to get away at the end. Right?
Yeah, because, like, he's smart.
Yeah, everyone else has always ended up either going to Arkham or Batman's like, man, a shark ate him. Or the Clock King, man, a giant like clock tower crushed him. You know what I mean? Like, they always presume dead. So I do like that they saved that for the Riddler, I guess.
Yeah. Wasn't he back in like 2 episodes or something?
Yeah, a few episodes from now he does come back. Yeah, it's like 3 or 4. And at the end we see a very frightened Muckridge with a shotgun, locking his door and heading to bed.
This was in my soul, this. Like, the was image it? Of him, like, turning the lights off and looking around, I was like, oh, my brain, like, nostalgia brain was like, you remember this. It's deep in your subconscious.
How much is a good night's sleep worth? Now there's a riddle for you.
I do love that he also gets into a bed in the middle of a giant room. That seems to be this fashion in Gotham. It's like, you got a big old bedroom? Just get one double bed and put it in the middle of the room. Not up against a wall. Don't get any other furniture. Just one bed in the middle of the room.
Well, there's plenty of room for activities.
And I guess for Riddler to sneak in as well. But Riddler never does. We never see Mockridge again. And I guess the Riddler is done seeking his revenge on Mockridge because he never goes after him again, which is interesting. I guess he's just like, I got Batman now, so let's move on, shall we? This guy was...
He knows that he's freaking out about it, so he's just like, I ain't gonna do shit. That's
true. Enough. Yeah, or he's fucking his wife in the next room.
That too.
All right, and that is the end of the episode. Usually we'll go into top three and ranking, but I do have to mention that last time I said our top three in no particular order was Two-Face Part 1, Joker's Favor, and The Laughing Fish, but I forgot that we replaced Two-Face Part 1 with Perchance to Dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to write this down, buddy, so we have this, because I keep on forgetting what we put, and I don't want to forget. So Perchance to Dream, Joker's Favor, and The Laughing Fish. Well, I think I know the answer to this. Does this make your top three this episode?
No.
No. Okay, so those will stay the way they are. What about ranking out of 10 for this episode?
I'll give it a 7.8 out of 10.
I will also give it a 7.8 out of 10. I have that written down exactly.
Yeah,
so 7.8 out of 10 is the final score for this. I think that's right, because like we love this interpretation of the Riddler. The story's okay, the riddles are kind of cheesy, and the animation was beautiful, but also really cartoony. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
You should make a spreadsheet of our ratings so we can see, like, easily see, like, in order what our top episodes are in rankings.
My instant thought was, that's a lot of work.
Why do people look at spreadsheets like a lot of work? They're really not.
Well, I guess maybe, yeah, but it would mean me going back and listening to every episode we ranked, and because right. I can't remember what...
Hey, some nerd out there that listens to the show... Put our fucking ranks all together in one file for us. Thank you.
Whilst Riddler's fucking your wife. Put our ranking system together.
Thanks, you fucking nerd. Snowflake.
Okay, so our next episode will either be the Joker's Wild Review, or if we manage to make it work, we have a very special guest that actually has something to do with the art department of Batman the Animated Series that will be coming on. So, it will either be that or the Joker's Wild if schedules don't allow. So yeah, keep an eye out for that, but looking forward to coming back next week with either of those, which will be fun. All right, we're going to move on now to our first game of the day, which is Riddle Me This, William.
Focus! Focus! Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe it's luck.
Oh, darn. Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
Okay, this is a game I play with my brother where I ask him three questions on the episode we just watched to make sure he was paying attention. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are. And this is the first game that has to do with the Riddler episode, so even more of a fun question mark. Question mark game? What am I talking about? Okay.
The only aspect you have of Riddler is you pull.
Yep.
Why did you get so sheepish there? You got to look completely pink.
I know, I did. Okay.
Oh, I can't let the public know that. Yes, I do, in fact, pull big time. This guy fucks.
Twice.
Only twice.
Each time, that's what I meant.
Oh, right.
Okay, you ready for this game? Now that now we've gone to... Okay, here we go. Question one. How many people have made it to the center of the maze in the video game?
None.
Correct. Question two. The key of A has three shots. The key of D has two shots. How many shots does the key of C have?
None.
Correct. And finally, question three. How many muscles does the human brain have?
Oh, muscles? Or was it the muscles. Section things?
Muscle.
1,000? I don't know.
What has been your answer for question one and question two?
I can't remember.
Are you serious? Oh my god! A goldfish!
And yeah. What was the first one?
Yeah, how many people were made into the center of the maze in the video game?
Oh, The answer is none.
Hey, he's caught on. I thought you would catch on after the second question. You're even bad at this.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, and
I got kicked by a mule, but I'm doing really well.
Bonus question for you. Alfred mentions the price of the Bat Computer when watching Dick play the Minotaur game. How much did the Bat Computer cost? And the answer is not none.
You're like, none.
None.
One.
No.
Let's see. I bet the Bat Computer probably cost... I didn't hear him say this, so... It's a big computer in a time where they only had like the little Fallout monitors. I'm going to say the Bat Computer cost $100,000.
It cost $50 million. I know. I was shocked by that.
What?
That's why.
That's so expensive.
So how much does this little palm top computer cost then if the Bat Computer is $50 million?
It's a mil each time.
Yeah.
The Chinese love me. I've made them so rich. You think they would do speedy delivery for me by now?
Don't ever call it a Chinese finger trap. Don't do that. I got in trouble once. That was bad.
But what do they call it then? If it's not Chinese finger trap, what's it called now?
I don't know. I Googled it, but it was saying, like, don't call it that.
A finger trap from...
I think it's just finger trap. I think that's what it's called. You don't need to assign...
The eastern trap.
The eastern finger trap. The appendage trap from the east.
The appendage from the east that traps you.
That's really complicated, Riddler.
Oh no, it's another appendage from the east that traps me. And I am trapped. I hear it's from China. And it's a finger trap? That's racist. So.
Not okay, PC.
Can someone
Riddler
just get me out? Oh, you push it together. That's clever. I would have never done that. You know, you're, oh, I'm trapped. It's good. I really want Chinese food now. It's made me very hungry for Chinese. Or Japanese. Is that the problem? Is it not from China? I want Asian food.
Please stop saying this.
I just want soy sauce and meat. Is that a problem?
All right. Are you ready for our next game?
Yep.
That you don't play?
Yep.
Okay. This is a game that we play with you, the listener. Each week we'll play a brief music clip from the show and you have to guess who the character is or the title of the episode that the music belongs to. The answer to each clip will be revealed in the following episode. So last week we had this music clip. Okay, and once again, before I play a voice clip from this episode, I'm going to give you the answer to make it a little more difficult. So the answer to this week's music clip is Shadow of the Bat is the name of the episode. And I kind of, if for people that really know the music, I was hoping that would throw you off there because it sounds like it's from an actual other episode. It sounds like it's from Perchance to Dream, but it's not. So I fooled you if you're that good. Basically, that's me playing that. And I was like, how would I fool myself? That's how nerdy I am.
What a Riddler you are.
And here's the music cue being used in that episode.
I was wondering when you'd get around.
I got a look at the evidence.
Those deposit receipts were perfect forgeries, dated months ago.
All right, and here's a musical clip for next week's episode where you'll have to name the episode that the music is from.
Hello.
right, that will be revealed next week. Moving on to our next category, it's You've Got Mail.
Oh, by the way, this came for you an hour ago by messenger.
You've got mail.
Thank you, Alfred.
This is where I take all of your comments, reviews, emails, and read them out on the pod. So first of all, we've got Multiverse Geekman here. Multiverse Geekman has said, love the podcast, been following for a while, absolutely love the animated series. You guys do it justice. Thank you, Multiverse Geekman.
Thank you.
Does all your Multiverse geeky selves feel that same way with all of the different versions of our podcast out there? Do you think there's, if there is a multiverse, do you think there's like, we're doing Batman the Animated Series in every single one or just this one?
Hope not.
Okay, next up, it's Agnes. Agnes has said, hey, Alex and Will, this seems silly, but I'm really writing in because of the intro with Will talking about being woken up by a shit. I have to say, yes, that's unfortunately happened where I wake up and my butt feels clenched and full of poo. Sorry if that's a bit much for your not the only one, I swear. I also wanted to...
my butt is full of poo! I gotta go!
And I'm just woken up.
I'm just woken up, my butt is full of poo! Oh no!
So you're not the only one, bud. And Agnes has also said, I also want to say Kevin Altieri was so nice and open about talking, not just with this interview, but the previous ones too. He seems so nice, and it's great you got to speak with him again. Really enjoyed the episode. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Agnes, and I hope
don't tell me that the interview we have with Kevin Altieri is the episode where I talk about me waking up and needing to shit immediately.
It's the start of the episode, yeah.
Could you imagine he's like showing it to somebody like, oh, I was on this podcast recently. Should we listen to it? Sure. Like they're professionals sitting there. Just immediately hear me talking about that. You ever wake up and just need a shit? Like, well, I'll turn that off. Well, that was fun.
Never going back on that one.
Nope, never doing that again.
And then he waits a minute and he's like, but that does happen to me.
Yeah. Oh, what? It doesn't happen to you, Kevin Altieri? You never woken up needing a shit? Never woken up with a butt full of poop? Like Agnes?
And also, you ready for this one? Anton Holtzman has said, I just want to say Will's not the only one that wakes up and needs to shit.
Hey-o! Ah, these are my people.
Yep. Maybe you can start your own podcast, which is called Wake
Welcome
Up.
Welcome to my butt full of shit. And I've just woken up. Coming to you live from my ensuite.
There's an echo as well in the background.
My wife is asleep, so keep it down. Today we're talking about wipe. Two plies or three? No wipes. Oh, mark on.
Okay. Next we've got Scotty Cameron. Scotty Cameron has said...
Scotty Cameron also has a butt full of poop.
No. That's where that stops for now. I do have other ones, but I'll save them for another day.
Okay.
Scotty Cameron says, great episode. Love Kevin Altieri's insights. I actually met him at Planet Comic Con in Kentucky. Is KC Kentucky or...
KC?
No.
I believe it's KFC.
What an idiot.
KC, Kansas City?
Kansas City, that's right. That's what KC is. Well done. He said, nice guy. Love that Charlie Clouse's Hello Zep Saw theme is a running gag in this podcast. Hey, I'll probably forget that name by next week.
I've already forgot the name. Hello Zep, was it?
Hello Zep. By Charlie Clouser. Also, I can't believe that the Saw theme has made it into almost every episode in the last like 6 weeks. How has that happened? Oh, God. Okay. Sean Bartholick says, another great episode. In addition to saying nerd like Mr. Freeze, I added biffed it to my vocabulary and told another lawyer in court the other day, you really biffed it.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Something me and my wife say, like a stupid little saying, is being used in a court of law. I love it.
It's amazing. Especially, I love people online that are coming to like the defense of biffed it when people are like, what does biffed it mean? And everyone's giving their like explanation behind it. But it's a word that like you just made up, right?
Yep. Yeah. Just stupid saying me and my wife, like, ah, I biffed it.
I love
make
that.
Up words all the time.
It's good stuff. Okay, then we got Optimus Prime 66. I want my Killer Croc, Killer Croc, Killer Croc, Killer Croc. I want my Killer Croc, Killer Croc, Killer Croc back ribs with shark
killer,
repellent.
Killer, Killer Croc wings.
With shark repellent sauce, that's what he says at the end there.
It's sewage.
It does repel sharks, though. It's very effective. You ever wake up with poop in your butt and you need a shit? You will after you eat these killer wings. It'll be worth it, though. Ozempic's been calling.
What, for weight loss?
Shit yourself. People use it for wrestling, you know. They gotta make weight.
Yeah, drop weight. Oh, God. Okay, we've got Alex Entrican next, who says, "Hello, fellow bat friends. I just recently got into your podcast, and now I listen every chance I get. When you guys reviewed Beware the Grey Ghost featuring Adam West, I said to myself, I need to tell these guys a little story. My dad and I went to a convention when I was 3 to 4 years old called BatCon, where lots of the cast from the 66 show were there. So I was there getting my picture with Adam West, and afterwards he looked at me and said, 'Hey, old chum, I've got something to say to you. You're Batman.' Of course, my father has been jealous all these years because he couldn't be Batman too. I eventually said, 'It's okay, you can be Robin.' So ever since Adam said those words to me, I've introduced myself to people as I'm shaking their hands as, 'I'm Batman.' I still do it to this day, and I will probably never stop. Someone got me a cameo video from Kevin Conroy for my 18th birthday, and he was my inspiration to be a voice actor and gave me tips on how to become one. I love your guys' podcast. I listen on Spotify while I'm working, and there's no one around whilst you talk about the grey dildo," which is from the grey guy.
The grey dildo? What's that?
We made a joke about grey dildo. I've forgotten
about that. The grey dildo.
My memory lasts longer than yours, but there is a cutoff for me as well. Like, sometimes, dude, I get people writing in and being like, saying something we said on Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast like 4 years ago, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, that was a lot. That feels like ancient.
Yeah, I had a whole other life.
That was primitive podcasting.
It's crazy. And he said, that had me crying with laughter. Thanks so much, Alex Entrican. Thank you, Alex, for writing in. And then the final write-in today is from Brito, who simply says, "What is Will's perfect iced tea? I need to know."
Oh, what, my recipe?
Your recipe, yeah.
Ah, it dies with me, bud.
Oh, you're not going to say?
No. I'll happily share my recipe. All right. It's very, very easy, okay?
Get a pen and paper out.
Everyone, get a pen and paper. Have you got it? All right. Take a big serving jug, right? I don't know how many glasses it fills up. Doesn't really matter. Just a big, big old jug that you can put in the fridge. I have, like, these jugs. They're from IKEA. They have a big fat cork on them.
This is a lot of detail to get to the recipe.
To pour water into it. Anyway, so fill it up with cold water to the top and put four tea bags in it, okay? Four tea bags, and then, like, I use a chopstick. I stick them down and I swell them up a little bit. And then I put it in the fridge for at least 8 hours. If you like it super strong, you can leave it longer. If you like a weaker tea, you can leave it less. But leave it for 8 hours so that all that tea can slowly go, you know, it's like a cold brew essentially.
Yeah.
So I do that, and then what I do is I take it out after 8 hours, and I cut a lemon in half, and I squeeze a whole lemon juice into the mix. And then what I do is, now I've started to use honey as my sweetener. Before I was using maple syrup, which was very nice, but now I use honey, and I think I use a teaspoon per, like, four teaspoons of honey. But you can do it to taste. I like mine a bit less sweet. Some people like it sweeter. So just, like, keep putting honey in it until it tastes really good to you. Mix it all up, and bada bing, bada boom, you got Will's perfect iced tea.
Does the honey not sink to the bottom?
Oh, hang on, no. And then when you pour it, you pour it in a big glass with ice, and you slice a lemon, and you squeeze it in, and you drop it in, and then now you've got the perfect iced tea.
And a straw or no straw?
If you got straws. I don't use those metal straws anymore because I've actually chipped my tooth on them. And I have a big wedge out of my tooth. And they become like my fucking arch nemesis. So.
They're fucking your wife right now.
A metal straw.
Hey, there's not much difference.
I do not have a pencil dick. Thank you very much.
Just a metal straw. Even worse. Okay. Thank you, everyone, writing in as always. And you can
enjoy.
We're going on to our next category now, which is what you're putting in your holes. Buddy, what are you putting into those holes that are just expanding into the content that consumes your innards from your eyes to your nose to your mouth to your ears? It's just filling you with content. Wow.
I watched recently, because I was on two flights, The first flight over, I watched Top Gun Maverick, and it was fine. Not my cup of tea.
Oh, yeah, I've not seen it yet.
No, it was all right.
It's okay. Yeah, yeah. Mars Teller, our Batman's in that.
Yep. And then I tried to watch something else. I turned it off. I can't remember what it was. And then that flight went by. That flight went whizzing by. I watched like 13 episodes of Bob's Burgers. I was like, oh, we're landing. All right. Okay, I'm here. Then on the way back, it was such, I left at 3 a.m. That's when my flight took off. And usually when you do that flight, you're like, ah, there's going to be like no one on the plane so I can spread out and like try and go to sleep. It was a jam-packed flight. And the stewardesses, you called them, they never came. So I was like, all right, oof. I guess we're just living in hell for tonight. And the guy was like falling asleep on me and like spreading his legs.
Oh, no.
So I kept giving him one of these, like, get the fuck over! Anyway, so I didn't go to sleep. I watched three movies. I watched The Machine, which is the Burt Kreisner movie with Mark Hamill, which is a play on his stand-up where he's always talked about, like, when I was 18, I got involved with the Russian mob. This is my story. And it, like,
okay.
And it was fun. It was fun. And, like, there was, like, the first act is bad. There's no laughs to be had in the first act. And I was like, oh, this is not funny.
I remember when they were pushing it, he's like, this is going to be the movie that brings back comedy to theaters. Yes. I remember him pushing that. And I'm like, I feel like that's not true. And
it had a great,
it probably wasn't.
Very good second act, very good third act. It was just that first act, I would have recast his family. They just weren't funny. And like, that was just, it just didn't work for me. But everything in Russia was a lot of fun. And Mark Hamill was great. There's a scene where he's like high on speed and it's very funny. And there's lots of action in that film as well, like, and really good action as well. So I was just like, okay, that was all right. I enjoyed that. The problem was, it just wasn't funny enough, that film.
Mm.
Like, there was only a couple times where I like giggled, but and there was nothing in that made me crack up with laughter. And I love his stand up. So, and I love Two Bears, his podcast. The thing that made me laugh the most was there was spray paint one time in the corner and it just said, Tom is fat, which was obviously towards Tom Segura. And that's just funny to me. So that was okay. And then next I was like, well, I haven't seen Renfield, and it was never on my radar to watch, but until I realized that Robert Kirkman like created the story for it. So I was like, well, I'm a huge Walking Dead fan.
Oh yeah.
Love Invincible.
Right.
I'm gonna check this movie out. And my God, like it was not great, but it was very good.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, okay. Well, the main guy in it was brilliant. The guy who's played Beast in the newer X-Men films.
Oh,
he's in The Menu. He's the one that hangs himself after, like, he's getting whispered
to.
Yeah,
and Mad Max, the Fury Road.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel bad for this guy because he's always good, right?
Is it Nick something?
Something like that. I can't remember his name, which is bad because he's really good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's not like now on the wall of every teenage emo girl, because he like looks like a Tim Burton like character with his hair, like all this is Renfield. And it's a great idea of like he gets superpowers by eating bugs, because that plays into Renfield, the character that eats bugs, to like all the stuff. And like the action in it is brilliant. Like, it is gory as hell. Arms get ripped off and he like fights people with
Severed
arms.
Yeah, now I realize that he's the zombie in that zombie love movie.
Right. That's a zombie movie I haven't seen, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised. Okay.
I should check that one out.
I can't remember if it's good, but
he was brilliant in the movie. Really, really good. But Nick Cage was not a good casting choice.
No.
Because he speaks in an American accent at one point, a full-on posh British accent at one point.
Oh, no.
And a Transylvanian accent, which I think what he was trying to do. And I think he spoke in a posh accent because the other guy, the Renfield guy, is so like posh and proper in it. And I think he was just feeding off of that, like, oh, yeah. And it was just not a good casting choice. And it was like this whole subplot, like, oh, the mob's connected to my father and they killed him because this whole town's run by the mob, was not strong enough as a background story. Should have been more focused on Renfield. So there was just like a lot of plot problems, but the action was fantastic in it. Like, really, like Matrix style fighting, which was great. And like the way the camera moves and everything, I was like, this is brilliant. And the beginning of it is great. Like, I could see all the Robert Kirkman like build up of lore, like making a lot of sense and it being a lot of fun. I think the casting director did a bad job, basically.
Right. Okay.
And then the best movie I saw was Cocaine Bear. That was better than all the rest. Was it a brilliant film? No, but I had a lot of fun watching it. A lot of great scenes of people getting torn apart by a bear. And it was funny. And good on Elizabeth Banks for stepping up, becoming a director. And yeah, there was some great stuff.
Well, she's directed quite a few films before.
Oh, has she? Oh, my bad. Yeah, she directed like a breakout thing.
You know the Pitch Perfect movies? Like those big... She directed those as well,
My bad. But I'm starting to really like the actor who played the Han Solo in the new Han Solo movie.
Yes, I've heard he's very good in it. Yeah.
He's great in it, but he was really good in that Hail Caesar movie, which I watched in the plane last time.
Right.
He plays like this country like kid that's like does all these stunts in old Hollywood, and he was brilliant in it. And he was really good in this as well. And there was also a guy from The Wire in it that I really like who says classic lines like "she," like I can't describe it. Anyway, so those were the movies I watched. They were all pretty mediocre. They were all the same level of like, this is fine. I'm fine. This entertainment is fine. Nothing like knock my socks off.
Okay, cool. Well, I've been watching the new season of Clarkson's Farm. Love that show so much.
Oh, there's a new season of Clarkson Farm?
Yeah, there's only 4 episodes out right now, and then the next. Okay. Well, actually, by the time this comes out, I think all of it will be out. So, yeah, that's been great to watch. Really just a great show. Just an easy watch, that show. You know, so entertaining.
Entertainment for tonight is sorted, then. I'm going to watch that. Go.
And then I watched Late Night with the Devil, and I know you did as well.
Yes. It was bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say bad. I liked...
No, it was bad.
Oh, I don't know. I liked bits of it, and I liked the concept. The execution at points, I felt, was just a bit lackluster. But also, at the same time, I went into it, and I think maybe you did as well, where you'd heard quite a few good things about this
amazing
movie.
Amazing things about it, yeah.
And I think that's another thing that ruined it for me, because I was expecting something, and they never met my expectations. And I didn't put it on a really high pedestal, but I was like, okay, I'm in for something kind of unique and good here. And I liked the way it started with that, like, mind reader or whatever you the medium. I really liked that, and like seeing him get ill, thought that was all great. But yeah, it kind of took a turn, and I was just like, get a move
this
on
is
with
a,
this.
Another film to me that struggled with casting. I love the main actor in it.
David DeSmashian.
He's brilliant in other things, but he was not the right guy for this role. He needed to be funny, like a late night host.
Yeah.
And even like when they're doing like the little cutscene things, I'm like, I don't buy it, bud. I know the whole thing is you're supposed to be number 2 in the ratings, but I think you would be number 0 because he doesn't have the charm. Could you imagine if it was Bill Hader in that role? Like an actual funny person that can do serious stuff?
Yeah.
Like I think that would have really elevated the film, where you could still be funny but serious behind the scenes. Like, and I could see Bill Hader actually being obsessive. Like, I want to fucking beat Johnny Carter, whatever his name is, in the ratings
Johnny
so much
Carson.
That I'll fucking, you know, I'm not going to spoil it, but I'll do.
Yeah, I agree. That's something, but also.
And
the
guy that was like the disprover hammed it up way too much.
Do you know who that is?
No.
In The Matrix, the second movie and the third movie, the guy that is Agent Smith in the real world, that's same actor that plays, because he does a great Hugo Weaving, Jackman.
Right.
He does a great Hugo Weaving in those movies. And I recognized him instantly because I just can see him going, Mr. Anderson. Mm. Like, I can see him doing that. My biggest problem with the movie is it couldn't decide if it was going to be like found footage or not. And I didn't like that. I was like, either stick with just the found footage, like this is the this is what the audience saw, so this is what you see, or just shoot the whole thing like it's behind the scenes and stop cutting from
behind the scenes. Makes no sense. Why would they always have a black and white camera?
Yeah,
and multiple cameras on them. I think that those scenes when it was in between takes should have been audio only to make it feel real, where it's just picking up on their audio as they're walking around, and
could
then they're showing
boring.
Like,
but yeah.
Well, no, you make those scenes quicker. Those scenes weren't fucking interesting anyway in between.
No,
anyway.
They weren't. They weren't great.
Like, and also, my other biggest thing was it was such a great concept, right? Really great concept. Bringing like someone who's possessed by the devil onto a late night TV show. Classic, really ingenious, fresh, new idea.
Yeah.
Just not executed well.
Exactly.
It was just a poor execution of a great idea.
And some of the practical effects were great, and others I felt like needed some work. But yeah, I overall, I wasn't like I didn't hate it. I was kind of like, meh. Like, okay, I've seen that now. And kind of annoyed that I bought it because I'm never going to watch it.
You should be. I was kind of offended how mediocre it was. Oh, I'd say you one good thing I saw. Last night, I went to the Odeon because they were did a special screening of Day of the Dead, my favorite fucking zombie movie.
Oh, yeah.
I went with my wife. She'd never seen it before. She loved it. We had a great time sitting in an Odeon theater, eating popcorn, and sipping on a big drink and watching a movie that I know is going to be good. And seeing it for the first time, like in 4K, and seeing all these details I never noticed before. It was fantastic. And like, I don't know. I got, and like, there was trailers before the film. It was like Planet of the Apes and some other garbage. And I was just like, what happened to movies? Where can we have fun anymore? Like they're talking about AI coming in replacing writers. Well, maybe they'll write a fucking good script because everything is so surface level nowadays. It's crazy.
Well, there's been some great stuff that we watched. Like Baby Reindeer was really good.
Yes, Fallout. TV is where it's at. TV is amazing. Fallout's amazing. Baby Reindeer's amazing. Righteous Gemstones.
Do you know what else?
So many great shows.
X-Men 97. I just want to talk about it real quick.
I haven't seen all of it, but I know. I keep hearing great things.
Like, it's been really good. Again, I wasn't a big watcher of the show when we were kids. Like, only caught a few episodes. And still haven't watched it in my adult years, but I watched this, really enjoyed it, been great to go along for the ride. I think it's a great piece of writing.
It's a great soap opera.
It is. And also, like, spoilers just in case, but we're weeks past it now. Spider-Man from Spider-Man the Animated Series shows up, and it's only brief. But for me, I was like, I'm so sad that it was spoiled for you, because for me, I didn't know that was coming. And I was like, oh my God, it's Spider-Man. And I was waiting for a line, and Christopher Daniel Barnes was not hired to do the voice. But now everyone is petitioning for Spider-Man the Animated Series, 98. And if they do, maybe we'll come back and, you know, finish off that show and have some more episodes to review in the future. But yeah, I was so pleased to see that. And they've used other Marvel heroes.
You know what we should do? When we finish Batman the Animated Series, we should just go back, finish off Spider-Man the Animated Series, and then continue into something else.
Yeah, we could probably do that. I mean, we've got Batman Beyond and all of that to come, so maybe we can squeeze in Spider-Man at some point. But yeah, I think that it's just a great show, and it's fan service, but it's also new, fresh ideas. And buddy, when you reach this episode, when you watch it, I want to know what you think, because I really love the concept that the villain has executed, and I really like what they did. And there's some images that I was watching it where I was like, that's spooky. Like, I was like, that's a really cool way of doing that. So, well, yeah, definitely check that out.
I was watching it. I loved it. I loved the whole Cable arc with
Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Yeah, Mephisto and stuff like that. Yeah. Not Mephisto, whatever his name is. Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of heart in that, like her having to leave like a kid and stuff. And I was like, this is great. But then I got to the MODOK episode, and I was like, oh, yeah, filler time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but just skip over some of that, and then you watch the next one, and it will recap at the beginning what you need to know. That show started that. Yeah, skip ahead and just watch the episodes that sound interesting. Definitely watch the last few. And that's all I'm putting in my holes. And before we leave, as always, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us back grapple up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And if you leave a review, we might read it out on the pod at the end of each episode. And please subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast catcher of choice if you haven't yet already. Also, you can email us at batmantaspod@gmail.com or follow us on social media at batmantaspod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere, but the app formerly known as Twitter, which is at batmantaspod1. And that's because why?
Because we are the number one Batman the Animated Series podcast.
You're goddamn right. And in the description of this episode, you'll find a tip jar where you can gift us any amount of money you can afford to give, if you so wish. As we aren't billionaire playboy philanthropists, any amount you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always and greatly, truly appreciated. And finally, you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson. And you can also follow Will on his socials to stay up to date on what he's working on now and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist and writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson Inc., and that's Robson INK. And please come out to Kickstarter for Outbreaks issues 1-3. I could really use your help to start funding Mobster Mash on it. So that would be incredible. If I ever made you chuckle, made you laugh, then you can make me laugh with happiness that you back my Kickstarter. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you got that. I like it. Okay, great. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember that we are Vengeance. We are the Night. We are a podcast.
And make sure you check what your wife's up to, because Riddler might be in the sack with her.
He might be diddling her.
Yeah, Riddler the diddler, the wife diddler, and he fiddles her with his whiddler.
Toodles!
Bugging your wife, goodbye!
I'm tired, I don't want to do a podcast.
Riddle me this, who's too tired to do a podcast?
I'm so shit at riddles. My brain does not work that way at all. And it makes me feel like this episode made me feel stupid. And my only reaction is anger to my stupidity. And then my wife made me feel better. She's like, your brain works great. You're really good at Wheel of Fortune. I'm like, that's true. I am really good at Wheel of Fortune. I can guess. I like to solve whatever the guy's name is.
So if it wasn't the Riddler, it would be what? The Puzzler? Who I think exists, actually. But if it was the Puzzler, you'd be great.
I'd smash up the Puzzler. Riddler, I'm like, I'm going to sit this one out, Batman. Yeah, I think you got this one. I would not help.
The Puzzler's like, today's topic is songs by the Beatles from 1961 to 1965. You're like, I got this in the bag, Puzzler.
Wow. 2 years before they were even the Beatles. That's going to be a tough one.
Oh, shit. Of course, the dates I choose are the ones that they weren't even the Beatles yet.
The Beatles from 1961. They were in Hamburg, Germany, singing Elvis songs.
There you go. You got the answer. You know, Mr. Puzzler.
Oh, I got it right. Oh, I'm a genius.
And now it's time for a riddle. You're like, I'm out.
I don't know that one. I'm not good at the riddles.
What band represents an insect that has a hard shell encasing it? You're like,
The crickets. Oh, no.
The turtles?
An insect?
I don't know. I'm out.
That's not really a riddle, though, is it?
No, I guess not. Yeah, it's more of like a quiz question, isn't it?
That's like Jeopardy. What is Jeopardy. Beatles?
That's how you have to answer the Puzzler's question with what is, otherwise he doesn't accept it. I love that. Oh, man. All right. Well, jet-lagged Willy, you ready to dive into...
Jet-lagged Willy! You better slow this podcast down.
That's what I call my dick when I'm in the Mile High Club. You know what I mean, eh?
Are you in the Mile High Club?
No, I'm not. No, I've never done that. Yeah. I don't think that's a cool thing either. I'm never like, wow, that's so cool. I'm always that sounds disgusting. Uncomfortable. And awkward.
My fat ass can barely fit in the bathroom by myself. Can you imagine me and my wife trying to do the Mile High Club? It'd probably just be like dry humping on each other. Like, oh, hey, okay. Just getting in, I'd probably finish.
Spilling out of the bathroom into the aisles. Just like your ass flap is just like sticking out of the door. And they just see it going in and out like, ugh. The pilot's like, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing turbulence. Please fasten your seatbelts.
Got major turbulence from two fatties trying to join the Mile High Club.
The plane is tilting to the left.
I think he's nearly finished. Oh! Okay, you can put your seatbelts back on.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Well, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, let's start the show.
Let's do it.